Hello, everybody. This is Ryan over at High Carbon Generator. Welcome back to my channel. If you're new here, like, subscribe. But today I have Eli with the Free Melon Society with me. We're going to go over whatever we go over. It might be more of a conversational. I have no idea how this is going to go. I don't have a script. But welcome to the channel.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah, it's great to be back here on your platform.
Yeah.
Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for offering me a little bit of time to come and just share whatever it is we want to share today. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Thank you.
Oh, and by the way, I'm going to have all his links down below. You do, I know, Instagram and YouTube. Do you do anything else?
Yeah. No, pretty much okay. Instagram and YouTube. Yeah, that's all I do.
Anyway. Okay. So I'm going to put those down below. Go check them out. Subscribe, follow, whatever it's called on whatever platform. And I really wanted to ask you where, because I know you're a fruitarian now, where exactly did you start on the spectrum? And have you always been kind of like vegetarian or vegan, or did you, how did you come across it?
Yeah, that's a good question too, because it's something that I don't address. I need to do more of this on my channel, like 100%. And I was transitioning over to what I do now, the more fruitarian lifestyle. I was transitioning before I even knew that I was transitioning, right? So I spent, from the time I cut out things like meat and processed carbohydrates, from the time I cut that out, I spent about a good like 7 to 8 years doing a plant-based diet, and a fairly healthy plant-based diet. So lots of raw vegetables, lots of raw fruits, and some cooked stuff as well. So whether it's sweet potatoes, whether it was quinoa, lentils, beans, all that kind of stuff, and then supplemented with just a huge assortment of vegetables and some fruits and whatnot. So I lived like that for many, many years, 7, 8 years or so. And that served as a very good transition to what I'm doing now. And I also did a lot of fasting while I was in that period of, you know, plant-based living. Not I don't go out to restaurants. I never did. So that started way back then when I was doing this plant-based lifestyle. So not much restaurant food at all, like very, very minimal. Everything was cooked at home or prepared at home. Simple breakfasts, like smoothies. I did a whole bunch of smoothies and not much juicing. I didn't really catch on to juicing until like the fruitarian lifestyle. So yeah, so we're talking a good deal of time living like that, and including fasting every single weekend without fail, and sometimes little cleanses or fasts here or there. So 3 days of water fasting, you know, 5 days of water fasting, 3 or 4 days on apples only, like an apple cleanse. So I played around with that a bit, and did some other stuff as well. I did like some colonics and some other sorts of alternative, you know, therapies and all that stuff. So to answer your question, I did have a good period of time where I was transitioning to what I currently do. Yeah.
So what made you think like this, the other diet is just way too much? Like I'm only going to eat fruits. Mm-hmm. And I assume you include all fruits, like, you know, like zucchini and like tomatoes. But what made you think like, I just can't do this other stuff anymore?
Yeah, it was less. Let's see. How do I answer that question? It was more just, I would say, a kind of natural evolution of just an understanding or a recognition of what I was really designed to go after, right? So once I stumbled upon some of the natural hygiene literature, the thing is, it made sense, right? So at first, so we're saying I'm still on the plant-based diet, okay? I've just stumbled across some information on raw food versus cooked food, what the differences are, and what your sensitivities are in terms of what foods you're aligned to or what foods you're optimally designed to eat. Okay, so I'm stumbling across all this information. So where does that switch come on? And at first, I think just because the information resonated with me, I recognized that, okay, humans, we can't really be so different from all the other forms of life on planet Earth. Like it makes sense that we would have some sort of species-specific diet, and where we would not be required by nature to, you know, cook and process our food before eating it. So that really just stuck out at me as something very self-evident that I could wrap my head around conceptually without, you know, any kind of scientific corroboration.
Yeah.
And so at first, I just decided to put faith in that and be willing to accept what happened, just, you know, out of curiosity. And I found that within my first couple of weeks, I was getting spoiled. I loved it, right? It afforded a great degree of simplicity in my life, where I didn't have to worry about cooking and preparing food in this intricate way like I would have to before. And when I say intricate, I mean, it doesn't even have to be intricate. It doesn't take any time to steam some broccoli and, you know, and potatoes. Like, it's really easy.
Yeah.
But which a lot of people, you know, find intimidating, like, oh my God, I need to go vegan. I got to prepare food. I got to go. No, it's easy.
It is easy.
Yeah. It's really easy. Like, come on, let's get real here. But I'm saying, on top of the ease that a regular, healthy, plant-based diet affords you, it was just the next step in simplicity, right? So coming home and literally doing nothing and just cracking open the melons or just peeling some oranges or cutting up some pears, whatever. So it afforded me that simplicity, and I started, it felt nice and clean and light. I felt very, very light. My digestion, you know, worked well. My elimination started to work well. And just, so then it just caught on. I started to get, I guess, lazy in not having to prepare food ever. I'm like, oh, this is great. I can still feel satiated at the end of the day without having to do that extra 20 minutes or 15 minutes or 40 minutes of food prep. I'm like, yeah, sign me up. And so at first I just kind of dabbled into it just to see how I'd feel. Started to feel really good, and my life got a bit easier. And then I just kept going. Decided to be, you know, okay, I'm going to be a good student. I'm going to take what comes, learn from it, and then, you know, just took it day by day by day until we get to now, where we're like several years down the road. So,
Yeah. Now, were you ever influenced by like the 80-10-10, Dr. Doug Graham, or did you even know about him?
I didn't even know about him really until I probably would have been very positively influenced by his material, but I didn't catch on to it until like halfway through. Like, I was already a couple of years into doing what I was doing, so I didn't need more convincing. I was sold already. but his inflammation, is that what I just said?
Yeah, he hands out that inflammation.
Yeah, he hands out inflammation. His information.
Yeah.
Was very, you know, very valuable, and I could recognize the value in it. And so, you know, if you haven't read it out there, guys, yeah, go read the 80-10-10 diet. It's so great.
Yeah. Now, did you do a lot of like juicing and smoothies and stuff afterward? Do you try to eat it just whole and just however, whatever form it comes in?
Yeah, I did. I've definitely done juice cleanses. So I'm a fan of juice cleanses. I don't have anything against those. They're great. They work. They'll clean you out. It's fantastic. So if you guys want to experiment with that, I recommend you do it. When I went fruitarian, then yes, I did do a couple of juice cleanses. And as for including juice in my regular daily modality of life, I don't do it as often. I every once in a while, I don't mind a juice, but usually if I'm eating like solid food, it'll just be I'm eating solid food. And when it's time to do a juice cleanse, that's when I do the bulk of my juicing, right? So I don't often mix the two. But I have done juices. So I've done, like, you know, like the 40-day stretch, the 60-day stretch. You know, a week here, a week there. So I play with that whenever I feel like it. You know, sometimes, I don't know how it is for a lot of people out there. With me, sometimes if I'm just eating solid food for a long enough period of time, you just all of a sudden get called for a break, right? Sometimes your body just says, I'm done with food for a while. Give me a little bit of a break. And so just respond to that and recognize that. And that's when I do those cleanses. Smoothies. Okay. So smoothies, I don't do smoothies very, very much at all. I used to, though. When I started my fruitarian lifestyle, I was definitely a fan of smoothies. I use them quite often and I love them. I think they're a very good option for people to use, whether they're on the run, they need to make stuff for work or whatnot, and they want something, and they know they're not going to be in a supportive atmosphere when they go to work or wherever. Smoothies are fantastic. I started to naturally kind of drift away from them a little bit as my body just tended to want the food unadulterated in state, right? But does that mean I will never eat a smoothie again? No, that's not what it means at all. It's just that I fell into the habit of just liking the raw simplicity of things. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me, it seems that smoothies don't eliminate as well as solid food. Yeah. So like when the fiber's intact and you break it down with your own machinery, it works in a different way. I feel like the fibers are so pulverized by the machinery in the smoothie that it's just not as easily recognized in your system. Something like that. But I mean, as a tool to be used for someone that's either transitioning or new to the lifestyle, you know, it gets my endorsement. I don't mind them at all.
Yeah. I think another place that it comes in handy is somebody who has like a regular, I don't know, 9-to-5 job, and you don't feel like carrying an entire basket of fruit into work with you or something like that. So I think it comes in handy there. But if you can avoid it, speaking of which, you know, I got one sitting right here, but like, if you can avoid it, I do agree that the digestion does seem to be a bit better with just straight up fruit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the other useful thing is sauces. People are coming from a lifestyle where it's like sauces and dressings and marinades and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you're making a smoothie, homemade smoothie is a great way to add some sort of sauce or dressing or topping to your, well, to whatever it is, your salad, your zoodles, your poodles, or whatever. So there's lots of options there for people to use blended fruits and vegetables together in a way that's just that is very, very healthy. So it's a good tool.
The other day I actually thought of you because I did somebody asked me to review this guy, Dr. Stephen Gundry or something, I think his name is.
Okay. Yeah. Gundry, yeah.
And I'm watching this dude and he's talking about we used to eat fruit to fatten up for the winter. Okay. And I'm like, how fat do you feel like you've gotten off of fruit? Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. I cannot conceive of how I would pack on fat for the winter with fruit. It doesn't. Okay. What would be required? It would have to be like a diet of all avocado and durian or something.
Yeah.
And mixed with jackfruit so that it's enzymatically incompatible, and so it makes a bit of fermentation. It's something like that. But if we're talking, you know, bananas, strawberries, apricots, apples, pears, melon, watermelon, you ain't getting fat on watermelon. Come on.
No.
I don't. It would be very, very difficult for me to.
Yeah.
And see, Gundry, and he's talking about like ancestrally, right? So he's going way back in the past and saying that that's what we use. Okay. Well, oh my God. So if we're going prior to the modern food system where fruits and vegetables are as scarce as they would naturally grow or even just, you know, some cultivation, like how the hell you're going to have enough to even come
forward? I don't know.
That makes very...
No, it made no sense at all. But I'm like, oh, I'm interviewing Eli. I'm going to ask him about that. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Yeah. And then at the end of the interview, he recommends 1 liter of olive oil a week. He said that food only is around to bring olive oil into your life.
Yeah. I've heard him say that. It's like, food is useful as only a delivery mechanism to shuttle olive oil into your system.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, I don't think anything could be more ludicrous. I mean, olive oil. God, it's not a natural thing. It's not a natural product. It's extracted oil from the olive. The oil, if you're eating an olive, first of all, you want the oil intact in the olive to get the optimal nutrition, to get the whole thing intact. You don't want to be extracting individual units or elements from a food and eating them in isolation. Right? So it's pure fat. I don't understand.
It's pure. It's,
pure 100% fat. Yeah, sure. You can add a little bit of olive oil to your food and you'll be fine. You probably wouldn't notice anything. You know, just eating a standard plant-based diet or whatever it is. Yeah, I get it. But when you remove oils from your diet and live without those things for a certain amount of time, all of a sudden, now you reintroduce them and then boom, now you notice an effect. Like, yeah. Oh, that's an interesting feeling. I never noticed, like you become a bit more sensitive. And you realize, okay, so the oils are a little bit encumbering, right? Or very encumbering if you have a lot of them. And it's where he gets this idea,
I don't know.
I've never come across that idea in any literature.
No, I haven't either.
And it's a very
it's strange because I assume that you're pretty low fat, right? I mean, yeah. It's very hard to find fat in fruit other than like durian and
and
avocado.
Yeah, very. No, you're right. Yeah, totally. Very low fat. My diet is very, very low fat. So nuts and seeds are almost non-existent. Okay, so I almost never use them. Actually, so recently we had the Air It Day 2022 celebration, right?
Yeah.
And they had, it was nice because it was a community of people, small group of people, where we were having, you know, not barbecues, but we were just outdoors, you know, with food, all barbecue. We didn't actually barbecue. So we're preparing food that everyone can eat, that I could eat if I wanted to. And it's rare that I go to a social function or a party where I can actually eat the food. So it was nice. They had a bunch of salads and we had different fruit spreads and whatnot. And the point is, there was a one of the organizers made a cashew cream. I've never had cashew cream before. It's like blended cashews with just something else, like a couple of herbs or something. And I tried some. It was great. Yeah, it was really great. But that's so far. That's it for my nut use like this year, pretty much. So it's not that it's off my menu. It's just that I very rarely choose nuts.
Yeah.
So that's the nut story. And then, yeah, other fats, avocados, almost never. So it's a very low fat diet. Luckily, fats are included in all foods. You can't escape that, whether it's lettuce or celery or broccoli or whatever you eat, you can't avoid it. All fats are in all plant foods. So you get what you need from by eating. And then I definitely like durian. I don't have it all the time, obviously.
No.
But yeah, you know, so those are where I'm getting my fats from food, and then the occasional times where I have something slightly higher fat like a durian or whatever. But you know, the thing that you need concentrated fats or pure blobs of fat in your diet, I don't know who's still talking about that. Like, it's weird.
I couldn't believe it. I watched this whole video and the last like sentence is like, I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's shocking, right?
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I watched this whole, it was 45 minutes. And like at the end, and I'm like, what? And, I mean, he doesn't mention this. And I wish he would have mentioned that in the beginning, because I'd have just not even bothered with all that, you know?
Yeah, man. Like, and especially if you're doing that with like pairing that olive oil, that truckload of olive oil intake with all of your other food.
With potatoes and stuff like that. I mean, potatoes and fat do not mix at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I know. And this is not news. Like, this is not news to the health community. We've known this for a long. I mean, French fries. Who doesn't know that a French fry is not a health food? Right? Who does it? Everybody knows that.
Well,
right?
He's basically making French fries with his diet. You may as well fry the potatoes in the olive oil and get it over with. I just don't understand.
I know. I don't know. Yeah, it's not a very good combination for people out there listening. Okay, yeah, starches and fats, or especially oils, I should say, particularly oils, are not the greatest combination. You'll hear some people talk about pairing avocados with starches, and that's okay. I'm not so sure.
No.
Same story. I'm pretty sure that it works the same way. It's concentrated fat and concentrated starch.
Yeah.
They're enzymatically incompatible. They need varying digestive chemistries to break down in the system. So when you eat them at the same time, your system gets confused. Okay. So you generally don't want to pair those things together. And so when you're adding oils to your carbohydrate-rich meal, there can be problems very often. And especially if you're eating a starch like a potato. And potatoes, when you cook them, in the absence of fat, they're great. But with the fat, they become just like a carrier, like a sponge that just soaks up all the fat. And it's just, and it becomes, well, if you're Gundry, it's a good thing, but a delivery vehicle for fat in your system.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody really needs avocados, make a salad. Like, they mix fine with greens. And greens actually, percentage-wise, actually are pretty fat, like, comparatively to a fruit. So it kind of mixes fine. But I don't understand. See, this is the problem. This is why I like having somebody like you on here, because a lot of the raw foodists, they just go straight for the nuts. They go straight for the avocado. They go straight for, like, they try to live, whatever, and like live on the kale juice and broccoli and stuff like that. And no one that this is creates all of these ex-vegans. Because can you imagine trying to live on broccoli, kale juice, and like with a salad with avocado on it? Your digestion is just going to be so terrible with it. Add some nuts in it.
Yeah.
And this is like majority of, I get so many questions of like, why is there so many ex-vegans? And that is why there's so many ex-vegans, because they see, I don't know if those videos are still around, but I got into this 2010-ish and everybody was doing that whole, like trying to live on kale, and it was nuts. And that was where a lot of the ex-vegans came out of.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's funny because like you go on Instagram, you look on like vegan channels or whatnot, or do you call them channels on Instagram? I don't know
what they're called. I think they're called pages on Instagram.
Pages? Okay. Yo, pages.
I don't know, whatever.
That sounds about right. Yeah, okay, pages, right? So you go on people's Instagram pages and you look at like vegan stuff and even YouTube. I don't know, because vegetables tend to make very pretty bowls and dishes. Like they present well to the eye, right? And a lot of the bowls and preparations you'll see, they look really pretty, but I mean, they wouldn't satisfy me on any day, like a couple sticks of celery, let's just say, beautifully presented with some peppers and like a little bit of dip. And they're like, oh, this is what I'm eating. This is a wonderful meal. And it's just like, I look at it, I'm like, that is nothing. Like I'd eat that. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm ready for my meal, which of course why I like the fruits, because they provide that extra calorie content in a natural way that's very satisfying. Like, I can take a cantaloupe, a single big cantaloupe, and that's a very satisfying meal. Loads of water and loads of fiber, all that. But, a sliced bell pepper with some celery and, a little bit of like avocado dip or something might look splendid, but I mean, it's just, it's not very filling. No. Why am I saying that? I think that we go for a lot of the aesthetics of food when it comes to like raw plant-based preparations. And maybe that makes people think, oh, I got to learn how to prepare food, it's going to be too difficult, or they do end up making the switch and they restrict themselves, not restrict, no, but they go after more of the vegetable content more so than the fruit content. And they find that they're getting less calorie content. And if they've just made a switch over, their bodies aren't sensitive enough to be getting what they need from now these really calorie dilute foods, vegetables, right, with not enough fruits. And so it just doesn't work, right? It just doesn't work. They need a more gradual transition. They need some higher calorie content foods, like either cooked starches or more fruits in the diet. And because we still have this fear of sugar and fruits and sweets, right, because they taste sweet, so therefore they must be bad for us, that thing, we still are reeling from that. So I find a lot of newbies in the field, they get a bit confused, and so they end up not sticking with the diet, and I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And because the stuff doesn't digest well either. So everybody's always, you know, you get all that bloat and everything, and everybody blames the vegan.
Yeah. And it's just that, you know, you have to be systematic about your approach, right? You're just coming from one diet and then drastically jump on this, all this fiber and all this, you know, all these minerals that you get from vegetable content. It's, oh, my digestion doesn't work. It's like, nah, it works. A, give it time, be patient, be easy on yourself, make a good transition, you know, don't drastically jump too, you know, too wildly. Sometimes people don't make the initial eliminations. So if they've still got things like coffee and tea and chocolate, right? Harsh seasonings and all of these things are still in the diet, right? What we should do is we should eliminate the more offensive elements first, live like that comfortably, and then move on to the next step. Just so you don't want to shock your system. I'm using that term. I don't really think that's how it works, but you get what I mean when I say shock your system, right?
Yeah.
So, it's just, gradualism works. Okay. So we're just gradually refining to better and better and better. And because we're always in a rush, sometimes we miss that very important element.
Right. Now, kind of a transition here. You've asked me about keto in the past, and did you have any experience with keto? Is that why you were so interested, or where did that come from? Because you just happened to watch one of my keto videos one day and commented, and I was like, oh, I don't know if he did keto at one point and just had this as bad a luck as everybody else, or what?
No, you know what? I was pretty lucky. I missed the boat on the keto thing. And I actually started getting into keto. When I say getting into it, just being interested in what the literature said about it. I more so started getting interested in keto only when I went fruit-based, because that's when I was just, you know, more interested in literature, particularly with diet. And so it became very interesting to me that we could all be so taken by this keto craze, this keto thing, when it seemed to go really against all of our natural sensitivities in a more flagrant way than even the conventional, like, North American diet, right? I've always wondered, you know, people will do like the, what is it called? Eco-Atkins diet, like a plant-based keto diet.
Oh, right? Yeah. That's got to be even worse, I would imagine, than...
I can't even imagine what you would eat on a vegan or plant-based keto diet. Like, what are we talking about? We're talking
avocados and nuts.
Yeah,
and olive oil. Avocados and
nuts, oil.
The Gundry plant.
And that's it. What else do you eat? Oh, olives. Olives, okay.
Yeah.
Olives, avocado, nuts and seeds. And oil. That's...
Oh, and the fake meats, I guess. You could do the fake meat, I guess.
I guess... No, you couldn't. Could you? Because they're using, what are they using to make fake meats? They're using like cauliflowers and soys and whatnot. Aren't those like too high carbohydrate?
Oh, it might be. It might be. Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever it is, it's crazy. Like, you cannot do vegan keto. You can, but most of your foods have to be like processed foods or just, like, it's weird.
It is. Yeah, it really is. It baffles the mind. But yeah, I didn't know if you had experience with it, you know, because I was surprised.
Yeah. No, you know, no, I don't. I never really went down that path. And every once in a while, I've been curious. Like, I wonder if, okay, so because I do a lot of fasting, and I would think, okay, what if I break my fast with just fatty foods, like just avocados and just avocados, let's just say. But every time I bring myself just to try it for the sake of experimentation, just my body screams at me like, don't you even, I do not want this. Like, I do not, no, give me the high water content. Give me, and I can't do it. Like, I just can't do it.
I heard that you can actually get in pretty bad health issues if you do it that way. I thought, aren't you supposed to break it with like a watermelon or something like that?
Yes.
Or cantaloupe.
Yes, you should. You should always be breaking your fat. Okay. If you're breaking your fast, and you're accustomed to fasting, then fruits are a good way to break it. High water content fruits. So watermelon, whatever, the papaya, anything like that. Okay, great way to break your fast. If you have never fasted in your life and you are fasting as someone who's eating either a conventional everything goes diet or lots of meat in the diet, lots of processed food in the diet, a safe way to break your fast is probably a vegetable meal, a simple vegetable meal. Lettuce, tomato, shaved cabbage. That's about it. Maybe a little bit of tomato sauce, like crushed tomato as a sauce to make it a bit more palatable. Something like that. A very, very simple salad. That's probably your better way to break a fast if you're coming from a very, very polluted diet and you're not accustomed to fasting. And then as you get more and more accustomed to fasting, the diet cleans up a little bit, then fruit becomes a better way to break it because the fruit is just that much more cleansing, right? So it can be very aggressive if you're breaking a fast coming from a bad diet. A lot of poisons get loosened up into circulation during the fast, and then you break it with this super cleansing fruit. It can be very uncomfortable for a person who's not accustomed to that. So yeah, so you're either breaking your fast with high water content fruits or high water content vegetables, one or the other. Everything else is probably just don't even go there. Yeah. Don't worry about the bone broth. Don't worry about the chicken. Don't worry about any of that. It's fruits and vegetables. That's how you break your fast.
I'm going to add this here too, because I don't need anybody doing a water fasting. They watch this and then they pass away. But like, yeah. If you're new to this, I would really get help, like True North or something like that. What's his name? Goldhammer, I think. Yeah, he even says that he's seen people pass away after 24 hours of doing a water fast if they were really toxic. So if you're extremely toxic or whatever, if you're looking into a water fast, that, you know, don't do it on your own unless you're somebody who's done it I don't know how many times, but whatever, but just don't just go into it without any kind of anything.
Yeah we have to be circumspect about that, you know. Always approach the diet first, like the diet, that's the key there. Just like always go after your diet first, clean up a bit, get comfortable, remove processed foods. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Nobody should be confused. This should not be revelation for anybody. Remove processed foods from your diet, okay? And then once you get at least to that step, then we can start playing with some of those cleanses or even like short fasts. So, just be mindful, common sense. Don't jump the gun. You know, don't jump to grade 8 when you're only in grade 2. Right? Just, you know, let's be reasonable, right?
Yep.